Hey, 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 it's John Grimes from Ambiguously Blind. If you're like me and have a fever for more cowbell, consider this your medicine, the AT Banter Podcast.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of AT Banter.
Banter, banter.
Hey, this is, of course, the podcast where we talk with advocates and members of the disability community to educate and inspire better conversation about disability. Hey, my name is Rob Minot, and joining me today, see, this sucks because it's Monday at 8 a.m. and now I have to do the full round of intros because everybody showed up. Hey, look, it's Ryan Fleury.
I'm here.
Liz Malone.
I'm here.
Steve Barkley is in the house.
I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty.
Holy.
Grab a coffee, Steve.
Woof.
I was just commenting that I don't think this has ever happened in the history of the show, that we've all been here for an 8 a.m. Monday show, which doesn't happen very often, I have to say. I think it's probably only happened a handful of times, usually because we're talking to somebody in the UK or something where there's been a crazy time difference. So congratulations. I feel like, yeah, I remember back in grade one, I think when everybody showed up, we sang a little song. I don't remember what it was, but I should have looked that up. But we...
Well, now you got homework.
Something like the gang's all here or something. I don't know. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Something like that.
Can you have a few bars?
No, I can't. I can't remember that far back. But hey, how is everybody? Great. Okay. No. I'm like Charlie Brown with that football. Time you guys tee it up for me and then you take it away as soon as I run up and to kick it.
Yeah, you need to work on a new question, I think.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah,
shake it up a little.
Hey, so I have to say, I have to brag a little bit before we start the show. Steve and Ryan and I attended a lovely charity fundraiser for AEBC, which is what, Ryan?
Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians.
Right. And they had a online trivia afternoon that we went to, and our team won.
Yay.
That's because we were awesome.
We're back on top.
Well, yep. And you guys brought your wives. I feel like they were pretty much the MVPs of it. I don't think me and Ryan would not have done as well at all.
The theme was love is in the air, and it was pretty much all about Valentine's Day, right?
So yeah, that's right.
Romance and love and yeah.
Yes. And I'm sure the organizers completely understand that Valentine's Day does not fall in April. They had to push the original date of the event. But there was a lot of trivia there that I don't feel like me, you, or Steve would have known anything about.
Nope.
So, but we won, but it was fun.
We're number one. We're number one.
That's right. All right. Well, anything else anyone wants to talk about before we get the show started? I am very excited about today's show, incidentally.
Let's get this party started.
Hey, Ryan. What are we doing today?
Well, today joining us are the energetic hosts of the Rare with Flair podcast, actress and YouTuber Casey Greer, and digital accessibility specialist Cassandra Mendez. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here. Also, congrats on the trivia win, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's interesting. I foolishly put myself in charge of Taylor Swift doing the Taylor Swift research because I was fairly convinced that there was going to be a Taylor Swift question.
And there was, and you failed us.
Well, listen, okay, in my defense, several things in my defense. Who knew that she'd been in a movie when she was a teenager, first of all, and that wasn't even that. That was not a. I don't even know that that's a real movie.
Well, let's ask our guests because I think they're Swifties.
Listen, okay. I love Taylor, and I did not know about any film she's ever been in. So
really, I'm so surprised.
To validate you, I think I agree that this film probably did not exist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so the question was like, I don't know what she was in a movie with Ashton
Jessica
Kutcher,
Biel
Julia
and
Roberts.
Kutcher. That's right.
Oh.
From
who
2010.
Knew? Not me.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly, right? So here I am memorizing her discography in the movie question when she was a teenager. So we got burned on that question, but we still won.
That's right.
Congrats.
It's all good.
Thank you. Okay. Anyways, let's get started. So I have to say, you know, you guys have been on my radar for quite a while. We wanted to get you guys on the show because I really do love the podcast. So let's start there. Tell us a little bit about how the podcast started and we'll just go from there.
Sure. Yes. So I appreciate the compliments, by the way. Thank you. So we've told this story a few times. We actually sort of retold it a little bit recently because Casey and I have been friends for 10 years, which feels very monumental. So we originally had met because Casey and I both have the same rare disease called Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome. And we met 10 years ago in 2014 at the family conference for Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome that happens every year in Long Island, New York. And we ended up on the same shuttle with, like from the airport with each of our moms. And we just really got to talking and immediately the conversation got super deep and just kind of knew we wanted to be friends with each other because our community of people with Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome is very small. So it's pretty rare that there's going to be someone that close to you in age. We're about 5 years apart, but I think ever since then we had maintained a friendship where we understood each other on kind of a deeper level. And we would talk like once every few months on FaceTime. And these calls would be like 3-4 hours long because we had so much to catch up on. And also just, we needed our like little banter sesh about living lives with disability and low vision and chronic health problems. That's kind of where our relationship started.
And then, yeah, the birth of the pod was kind of in 2020 when everything shut down and we had no life. You know, a lot of people, I think, were making podcasts at that time. But we had so many of these long FaceTimes kind of ranting about disability and things like that. And we thought we could just record this, you know, what we're saying right now. And maybe other people would find it relatable too. So that was kind of the birth of the pod was in 2020. So we're about to be at our 4-year podiversary, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, we have a lot of passion about advocacy and kind of changing the narrative on what it's like to be disabled. And we wanted to show that we're regular people with regular interests, which is kind of the birth of the name Rare with Flair, because the rare part is kind of the disability part or the rare disease part. And then the flair part is talking about, you know, our interests, music and fashion and all of that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where we thought of the name and the whole idea of it.
Don't forget cartoons.
Oh, yeah. We love cartoons.
That's something we also do because we live in different places. So I live in Ohio and Casey lives in Tennessee in the U.S. So we don't see each other often. We actually just saw each other at the Hermansky-Pudlak Syndrome Conference last week, which was really fun and really special. But almost 2 weeks ago. Wow. Time really flew. I don't know what time is anymore, but, but like in order to keep our kind of long distance friendship alive and to give us something like an activity to do together besides just strictly talking, which we do a lot of anyway. You can listen to us do that on our podcast, but we started watching cartoons together, and it's just been this long running thing because we both love animation, and it's great. Casey, you were like, I think I want to watch cartoons with you until I die. So
yeah, pretty much.
Well, and I think that is something that resonates with your audience. I mean, the podcast itself is a really unique mix of where you talk about, you know, sort of the personal things that are going on in your lives, as well as like the lived experience of being members of a disability community, and then also sort of education about these specific aspects of the condition. When you sat down to start the pod, was that really a conscious decision to have that mix, or was that just a natural, organic result of your conversations naturally?
I think both, really. Cassandra mm-hmm. and I had both kind of done advocacy separately before the podcast. I was making YouTube videos, which I don't really do much anymore, and she had a blog and would write, you know, things about disability. And like we said, oftentimes when we would talk, it would trend in that direction because we were the only ones that could really understand what the other person was going through. But we also have a lot of just similar interests in general, like we were just talking about, outside of being disabled. And so that was kind of a conscious thing when we chose the name. We thought we might not have enough content forever to just talk about disability, but we know that we can talk about other things too. And that, you know, in our tagline, we kind of talk about showing the beauty and normalcy of disability. And we want to normalize it by talking about other things and showing that we have, it is a big part of our lives, but also we have a life outside of it too. But it also kind of just organically happened. So I think it was a mix of that just organically happened with our own conversations, but it was a conscious choice to highlight both of those things on our show.
I think it's also continued to evolve as time goes on. So we had this general thought of, okay, we want to share a lot of aspects of our lives to give a more three-dimensional view of people with disabilities. It's not just, you know, it touches every aspect of our lives, but we're humans too. And so I think as we've continued to do this and time has gone on, there've just been things that continue to pop up either throughout our lives or as we hear other disabled creators on other platforms talk about topics that we haven't addressed yet. We're like, oh, we should talk about that too. And, you know, we got into plants while we were recording this podcast. We weren't into it when we started, but you know, we recorded an entire mini episode where we just talked about our houseplants. it's just been, as time evolves and as we evolve as people, we kind of continue to evolve our show in the process.
Well, you know, and that's the real, I think, magic of podcasting. I mean, that's why it's such a great platform for people is that you can do that. There are really no rules. You can evolve it in any direction that you want, as long as you have one or two people that are out there that are listening, that are getting some value out of it. It's totally worth it.
Definitely.
I think it helps that we have like a very similar vision for the show in the sense that I feel like we rarely ever disagree. I don't know if we've ever really disagreed about the topics that we've shared on our podcast. It feels very right when someone recommends something like, oh yeah, we could easily do that. And I think we've also been doing it so long that we like trust each other to keep that conversation going.
Right.
So I don't know. It's special. And I think because it helps when you're already friends, you can kind of play off of each other's energy, as I know you guys do here.
Right.
We all hate each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure. That's right. That's
microphone,
show.
Microphones turn off. We say, okay, I don't even want to think about you. I don't want to hear from you.
Why am I doing this? Why do I do this to myself every week? Okay, well, let's talk about, I want to talk a little bit about Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome, and I'm sure I butchered that.
No, you didn't. That was perfect.
Oh, really? Okay, good. You said, yep. So the key to all the other co-hosts, just say it really fast and nobody HPS. Will notice
that. Right.
Which, you know what, actually in doing the research for the show, it made me think, who decided, why are all these syndromes named after the people that discovered them? I would think that as a scientist to discover, that's the last thing you'd want. Who wants my last name associated with a terrible syndrome? take a vote for the community to come up with something cool. Hire some digital marketers.
That's true. Yeah. I will say, I feel like it is slightly, just a small step above, I don't know, chromosome 14 deletion syndrome. That really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, that's right. So anyways, what was I saying? Oh yeah. So tell us a little bit about this syndrome, because it is very rare. And it does sound it's a real, I don't know. It's like a Kinder egg of of a syndrome, because it varies so much. Yeah, it varies so much, and there's a lot packed into it. So can each of you kind of give us a little bit of a snapshot of what it actually is?
Yes, it is a rare genetic disorder, and it is like a Kinder egg. You just keep on opening new layers just constantly. So it causes albinism, which is a lack of pigment in the hair, skin, and eyes. And the pigment varies in person to person with HPS. There are 11 types of HPS, actually. And so the albinism causes us to be legally blind and a lot of different issues with our eyes. And that's a whole thing we could go down, but I'll try to make this brief. Our blood platelets are malformed. So we don't clot very well and we bleed easily. Also, a percentage of people with HPS develop bowel disease, similar to Crohn's disease. And also a percentage of us also develop a lung disease called pulmonary fibrosis. There are a few other things here and there, but that's kind of the basic gist. Those are kind of the four main symptoms of it. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the last two things that are a bit more autoimmune are a bit more subtype variant, and also just, I don't know, I guess if you're extra lucky, you get bonus material. The disease is also, it's very rare. It's projected somewhere between one in every 500,000 to a million people worldwide have Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome. It is worldwide, but it is extremely common in Puerto Rican populations because the island of Puerto Rico is very small. And there is a founder's effect on the island where there's a pretty high concentration of people with this disease, especially because it's an island. So there's a big portion of HPS type 1 folks that originate from the northwest corner of the island. And that's where both of my parents are from. So I'm kind of the textbook Puerto Rican person with HPS.
In sort of the mandate of the podcast, which is sort of to spread education about it, you guys are very open when it comes to sharing sort of, the personal medical aspects of dealing with the syndrome. What's sort of the community around this syndrome like? I know you guys met at a conference. Are those ongoing every year? Is there a lot of research being poured into it? Is it sort of a newer syndrome that they're sort of working on? Where are we kind of at with it?
Oh, that's a really good question with multiple parts. So I gotta say, I feel like we're really spoiled in a way with the Hermansky-Pudlak Syndrome Network. The network was started over 30 years ago. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong.
1992.
Thank you. So yeah, it's been over 30 years. Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. So the conferences have been happening for about 29 years. There was a break for COVID, but as there was for most things. But the conferences, they happen annually, always in Long Island, because it's where the founders are from. And it's just this really special community. we take it for granted sometimes. And I've met other people with other rare diseases that don't have this kind of community. So I realized that even within rare diseases and rare disease organizations, it is somewhat rare, but we gather together, and it's a very special time, and it's such a mixed bag of different things. So it does feel like a family reunion, even if you don't know everybody. Everybody's just really like tight. And even if it's your first time, it's a very warm environment, but like people go from 0 to 100, and it's wild and difficult to describe. There's a lot of joy and laughter. There's also a lot of grief because, I mean, like Casey mentioned earlier, this disease can cause things like pulmonary fibrosis, and that can take people's lives. So there's grief in that. There's grief in just seeing people start to decline in their health. But there's also a lot of celebration. People have babies, people like get new jobs and graduate. And so we love to celebrate every little milestone. There are a lot of patient focus groups at this conference. We do this big like dance party, kind of like a wedding, but without the wedding part. At Saturday night of the conference, which is really extra fun. And there is a lot of research being done. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Case.
Sure. While our conference is going on, which our conference is more of a family support group type of thing, but while our conference is going on, we also have this other meeting called the Meeting of the Minds with doctors and researchers. We have our disease being researched at the National Institutes of Health, and some of them come, and we do have a lot of research going on. And then on Sunday of the conference is kind of a Science Sunday, where they share all of their findings with us and any new updates on research with us. And like Cassandra said, we're very spoiled. This is a very rare disease. I mean, most rare diseases don't have anything like this. And we really have the founder of our network, of the Hermansky Public Syndrome Network, to thank for this. Her daughter was born in the 80s. And ever since then, she has been she's a nurse, so she knows a lot about medicine, and she's been fighting for a cure for her daughter, and she started this whole network, and it kind of all snowballed from there. But it's very rare to have this kind of community with such a rare disease. So it's pretty amazing all that our little bitty network has been able to accomplish. And we always say that if we can find a cure for our rare disease, I think we'd be helping other disorders as well, whether it be bleeding disorders or, you know, pulmonary fibrosis. The lung disease can affect other people too. It's outside of our community. So all the research we're doing can hopefully help other communities as well.
Now, given that, you guys have the podcast and it's doing quite well, are you guys kind of like celebrities at these conferences now that you guys have the podcast?
That's funny. We usually do host sessions together, so it kind of feels like we're doing a live podcast. And I don't know about celebrity, but people do know the show, which is funny because obviously, like in everyday life, no one would know us. But at these conferences, yeah, usually people, a few people do say that they listen, and that's really great because that was kind of our goal, was to help people feel not so alone.
Yeah, right. Actually, this year we had a really special encounter where there was a mom of a girl with Hermansky-Pudlak syndrome who had come to the conference when her daughter was really little, like maybe 3 years old. And it was back in 2014-15. And I hadn't seen them since then COVID. And so I was kind of wondering in the back of my mind, I wonder how that mom and daughter are doing. Well, they came this year, and the girl is now 13. And it was just the sweetest thing because she listens to our show. We had no idea. And her mom was like, I remember meeting you both like years ago, and she had pictures from these conferences, and we were like, wow, you really never know who's gonna find our show.
We have no idea who's listening. I'm sure you all understand that. Yeah. That life of like, who are these people? We don't know. Because podcasting is weird. It's kind of like in a void. There's not a comment section per se. I mean, you can get reviews, right. You know, but like, we have no idea who's listening. We just kind of put it out into the void and we're like, well, I'm sure somebody will hear that. I don't know. And so it is kind of cool when we're like, oh, people actually hear it. Wow. Great. Cause we see the number, but it's such an arbitrary, it's like, who are these people? We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we totally can totally relate to that. I mean, for a lot of the time, you just feel like you're screaming into the void. You don't know whether or not a topic or something has resonated with the audience necessarily. I mean, yes, you know, for us, you know, if we get one or two emails a week, you know, we feel pretty lucky.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, because most people just consume podcasts, if they enjoy them, that's great. You know, they go on their merry way. It's pretty rare for someone to stop and like email a podcast. Like I know I've never done it. I've enjoyed plenty of podcasts and really enjoyed it, but I've never emailed the show.
That's exactly how I feel. I listen to a lot of shows and I never reach out. I'm like a silent listener.
Yeah.
So we agree.
Yeah. Even like consuming YouTube, like I rarely will like even give a video a thumbs up, even if I really enjoyed it. I just watch it and I'm like, wow, that was great. I move on.
That's right.
Well, you guys are the worst.
something about that though is actually great because you feel like you can be more vulnerable on a podcast because you kind of do feel like, who's listening? And then, I mean, even if people are, it just doesn't feel like it.
That's very true. Very true.
So you can be kind of vulnerable without feeling like you're really putting yourself out there, but you are. It just doesn't feel like it.
What did they say? Dance like nobody's watching.
Right.
Yeah, I get that.
Podcast like nobody's listening.
Exactly.
Yes, you're right. Actually, that should be the motto for our show, actually. But let me ask you this, because you guys do sort of, you guys are very open and you do really dive into a lot of topics. Has there ever been a time where you've done a show where you're just like, oof, you know what? We might have overshared that point. Maybe we better step that back. Or have you ever had second thoughts to any sort of, you know, topic that you guys have talked about?
We have some episodes that we've recorded that feel particularly vulnerable for us. And we can tell, when we are thinking of the topic and then when we click to stop the recording, we're like, wow. We're excited because it feels good to put things like that out in the open. So some of the episodes like that have been early on. We did one about, do we want a cure for our disease? And that has a lot of layers to it. It can be a little bit controversial. We've done episodes where we open up about the realities of like feeling burdensome with chronic illness or with like people that are, you know, drive and we don't drive. And so like it can feel like we're putting ourselves on the spot, but at the same time, those have more often than not been some of our absolute favorite episodes, because I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Casey, but I feel like we're saying something that maybe should be said, that something that maybe if I were listening and I were 13, that I would want to hear,
right.
Just to know that that's a thing that other people feel and it isn't so isolating after all.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't know. I feel like we do walk a fine line though, because there are a lot of personal things we choose not to share too. And that's kind of like a boundary we have set, kind of that changes as time goes on, because new things come up in your life and you choose what to share and what not to share. But personally, I've never felt like it went too far. And I usually, those are the episodes I'm kind of the most proud of, because I do feel like I'm glad to get some of those things out in the open. And I feel like some of those have been the ones that we've gotten more comments on from people. Like sometimes we'll put one out and we don't hear anything about it. And so, like you were saying, if you get even a few emails a week, that's like really a good thing. And so we feel a similar way, where we recently put out like a chronic illness episode and I ended up getting a few different messages about it. And I'm like, you know, there are other ones that don't seem to touch people the same way. And so we don't want to be always super vulnerable. Like, we like to make it light and funny too. But I do feel like those are the ones that resonate with people the most, maybe. So it's a balance for sure. That's a good question though.
Well, let me ask you this then. And like, how much of the show itself is sort of therapeutic or cathartic for both of you?
Oh my gosh. So much. The thing the show has given me, I'm so much more of a better advocate for myself now, living my life. Like, I feel like if anyone tries to say something to me, because, you know, Cassandra and I are cane and guide dog users. So, like, you know, we're putting ourselves out there in public that we look blind to the public because we are, but, you know, like, people see us. And so people make comments sometimes and things like that. And I think pre-podcast, I maybe didn't have the words as well to advocate for myself. And now I feel so confident because I've talked about it so much on the pod that I'm just like, yeah, this is me unapologetically. And if you have something to say, like, I'm ready with, you know, I've been like accused of faking blind because I'm not fully blind and all of that, you know, which is ridiculous. But I feel like I have totally the toolkit now to really stand up for myself or to even ask for help more and not be afraid of that kind of stuff. So for me, I think with my confidence, the podcast has really helped. And yeah, it has been therapeutic as well, though, to kind of get all that out for sure.
Yeah. I also think it's helped me understand myself better personally. And also Casey and I have pretty similar, we're different people. And you'll hear this in our show. Sometimes we have a lot of the same opinions and sometimes we diverge. But I think that also talking about it with someone else has kind of revealed more about, I don't know, like, our own feelings about even using mobility tools. We did an episode some time back called, like, mobility tools therapy sesh, which is what I was thinking of when you asked the question. But just like that love-hate relationship with using a cane or the frustrations of using a guide dog in public, it's just, it adds on this layer of complexity that sometimes is just really frustrating. And to be able to accept that, like, almost a little paradoxical, except the bad and the good and how much it helps, has also been a really great way to continue to love and accept ourselves and become better advocates, like Case was saying too.
Now, you guys, what do you post, twice a month? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about that. Every other Tuesday.
So, and how do you find that schedule? Is that kind of the sweet spot for you guys in order to, you know, produce and plan?
Yeah, we don't script as much as we used to. A lot of our episodes are more off the cuff, and we'll like jot down a pretty brief outline depending on the episode. If it's more involved, we'll write a little bit more, but just so that we know the talking points and if there's something that we really want to hit on in the episode. We used to plan more and like a dedicated day, but now it's kind of as our schedules allow, and we kind of change it as like things come up in life. But the Tuesdays that we aren't releasing are the Tuesdays that we record, since we're both usually free those evenings. And so we've continued that for almost the entirety of the show. And again, we've moved it around with like vacations and things, but have rarely ever taken any time off, just because once we really got into the swing of it, it didn't really feel like that much work anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of work at the very beginning, as I'm sure you all understand, like just getting it off, like getting it on its feet felt like a lot of work. But now, yeah, it's so regular in our schedule. I like forget we do it sometimes. Talking about like hobbies or things we do, I like forget that it's there because it's just such a natural. Yeah, we record on the off Tuesday and then we upload on the other Tuesday. And that's just kind of how we've been doing it for so long. But yeah, it doesn't really feel, it just doesn't really feel like a lot of work anymore. It's just kind of a fun little thing we do. And so, yeah, I think we had a very originally cast. I don't know if you even remember this. I think we had decided to do monthly uploads at the very beginning.
Yeah,
and then we
did.
quickly decided, we can do it bi-weekly or, you know, every other week. And so that's been working well for us. A lot of people do once a week, which is great, but we both work and we have other things going on. And like, we think this schedule really does work really well for us in our lives. And yeah.
Well, you know, listen, a weekly podcast is a lot of work. It's a dedication. I mean, we've been doing a weekly podcast since 26
years.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That is something to be proud. That's so impressive because I don't know. Like, yeah, a lot of people might not be able to do something like that. And that's dedication. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I think this will be episode, 377. So
that's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would love to know the origins of your show, actually.
Well, you know, it's funny. We
well, so it's not a very interesting story.
No, it is. It is. Boys. The origin of it, like, really, we all worked together at an assistive technology company, and originally the idea came up in the lunchroom. We were just like, it was kind of like a marketing idea. We just like, well, why don't we? You know, we know that. You know, assistive technology, a lot of people, even people who need assistive technology, don't necessarily know what's out there, what's available. So why don't we start a podcast and just, we can talk about different types of assistive technology. And we started, and that's where the name AT Banter came from. And I think we realized quite early on, probably maybe about six episodes in, that was incredibly boring to just talk about assistive technology. And it's like, let's expand the topics out. Let's go and talk to people in the community. Let's get some human interest stories. And we started doing that. And then eventually we evolved into, let's talk to different organizations. Let's try to spread the word about the work that advocates are doing in the community. And so really quickly, we sort of increased the scope of it. And really changed. And, you know, the reason why I kind of laugh is that, you know, the original name AT Banter, it's a little bit of an albatross around our neck because we were like, well, do we rebrand? But we don't want to rebrand because we already have, like, we have an audience and everything, and people like know the name, the people that know the podcast. So we're kind of stuck with this, you know, AT Banter name, but really the core of the show isn't necessarily assistive technology. I mean, occasionally we will talk assistive technology, but you know, it's really just we find it more interesting to talk about disability, talk with people in the community, or talk to people who don't necessarily, you know, normally get a platform to get their story. Mm-hmm. So and the show has really evolved. You know, it started with just me, Ryan, and Steve. And, you know, a few years ago, we wanted to sort of inject a little bit of life into the show. So, you know, we added Liz as a co-host as well. And yeah, I mean, we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants as well. You know, it's funny. We can really relate to you. I feel like your show is a little bit of a kindred spirit because, you know, at the outset, we wanted to have this mix of, you know, infotainment almost. It was like, we want to keep the show casual and light and kind of entertaining, but also have that educational component, you know, have that time where we're talking about serious topics, but we also wanted to make it fun. And talk about our own lives and idiosyncrasies and tease each other and all of that. So, and that can be a hard balance sometimes for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Congratulations on having a show for so long, a successful show
that's
since
huge.
2016. That's amazing. And I like the name a lot. And I do think that's pretty common with a podcast name as the show evolves, like it evolves, but I like it.
Well, thank you.
I actually think you could sub and call it like AT instead of assistive technology could be like advocates and trailblazers, you know, something like that.
That's good. See, I like that.
Hey. Yeah, write that down, Rob.
I'm writing that down. I'm stealing all these.
Because we've been talking about names for 9 years.
It's true. But it's so I find it so funny too that you guys have stuck to this schedule where you publish on the same day, because that's what we've been doing for whatever, like for whatever reason, which really in the podcast sphere, it's very silly. Like we're not a network show or anything. Like it's not like everybody's tuning in at Tuesday, you know, Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. to see the new AT Banter podcast episode. But you get into that mindset. And when it comes to scheduling, it just becomes easier because you can record on the same day. You're aiming to edit and get it out there on the same day. It just kind of fits into your own personal schedule a little bit better.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't have to like talk about when it's coming out. You know, I feel like if it was on a different day every time, we'd be like, when are we releasing it? So it's just kind of easy to know, like, oh yeah, this is the day.
And that's also like a great remnant from like Casey's YouTube days where, especially on that platform, it was like really, really critical to publish around the same times each week if you can help it, because people know when to expect more content and might come back more often for it. So that was something that like Casey was talking about like really early on into the conception of this show. Even when we were thinking about doing it monthly, we were like, okay, we're going to do like the second Tuesday of the month or something like that, just so that people knew when they could come back for more and it wouldn't be like a total surprise, like, oh, look, another episode. I had no idea.
And is the show edited? Do you guys edit it, or do you just like let it roll and it comes out how it comes out?
That's a good question. Cause at the beginning it was way more edited because we were not as good at podcasting. there were more lulls in the conversation, more like ums and awkward pauses and, like I edit it, but I really don't do much. I kind of just listen to it and I edit out any weird moment, but really, yeah, we really don't, there's not much editing anymore. Just cause we're so used to when each other, we know each, I'm sure you have the same thing where you know each other so well, you kind of know when the other person is done talking and like when there's a pause, you kind of pick up where it takes a while to learn the other person. When it comes to that, the conversation. So
I think the first episode that you edited, Case, because you were also learning the tool that we were using, I think it took you like over 8 hours. Like
how long did it take? Time, yeah.
It was a really long time. And like I don't think it doesn't take that long now, right?
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we're still terrible at it because we still have to the dreaded lulls, I tell you. So tell me a little bit about your audience then. Like how much do you, I mean, you did mention before that you're kind of like us, but I mean, the audience that you have talked to, you know, what do you find that really kind of resonates with them in terms of the body of the show?
What's interesting is our audience is mostly disabled people, which is great because it gives them something to really relate to and feel seen and all of that. But I, as an advocate, I always wanted to reach the general public. That was always my goal. Like, that's what I want more than anything. And I don't even want it for me. I want it for any, like whenever I see any content creator reaching that, I get excited because the disability community desperately needs it. Like we desperately need better representation than we have now. And so like, I feel like our show, we do have a really like dedicated audience, but they are mostly in our community, which makes sense. You know, what, anything else to add, Cass?
Yeah, I was just going to say that when it comes to the actual content of our show, occasionally, like every few months, we remember that our show has analytics. And we're like, oh, we should check those. Usually the episodes where we do talk about disability tend to do the best, and potentially because it is geared to our own community, but also because I think it's just a perspective that people want to hear. Of course, like there, I'm sure it's a ton of podcasts that are talking about like the latest trends or, you know, just home decor and things like that. They don't necessarily need to hear it from us. But even in the episodes where we aren't talking about specific disability topics, like we said, it touches everything. And so even like some of the choices of what we've done with our homes and how we've chosen to like put lighting in different rooms are a lot of times still tied to our disabilities. But you can still get that, but maybe from the title alone, it's not as appealing to some, just because there are others out there. But
yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, we when we first started, even, you know, we felt the same way. We're like, you know, there are, you know, AT specific podcasts out there that do a much better job, a much deeper dive into, say the sort of the nuts and bolts of, say, something, a specific topic, like, say, assistive technology. We weren't really interested in doing that. So, you know, it's interesting how each podcast, you kind of find your niche, you kind of find what you're really good at in terms of producing a specific type of content. And that's going to just resonate with the audience, that you have. And, you know, they can go and they can listen to those, say, podcasts, if that's exactly what they're interested in. But it's just interesting how each podcast really builds that audience and resonates with certain people.
Yeah. And I think people do really come back for our friendship. I think, you know, our format is kind of co-host conversational, and we hope that, I mean, we are best friends, and we hope that like shines through. We kind of wanted it to feel like you're just catching up and getting coffee with a friend. Like, that's kind of how we wanted the show to feel. And we feel like that's something we have to offer. That's, you know, like you said, every podcast brings something different to the table. And just like all of you, like your fun banter with each other. I know you said you hate each other, but you know, like that comes through, that shines through to the listeners, and that's special, you know?
But that's, I think that you hit on it, the real special part of the podcast. And, you know, because I've listened to, I don't know, 10, 12 episodes, I think. And it does feel like that. Once you start to dial into the podcast, you really do feel like you're listening. Not only you're listening to a couple friends, but you actually begin to like really kind of feel like you guys are the audience's friends. Like it does feel very special about that. And I think that really comes through in this chemistry that you guys have with each other.
Oh, thank you. That's definitely our goal.
Super kind.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
So my brother got married a couple of years ago, and my sister-in-law has listened to our show on and off. And she and my brother came to the Hermansky Black Syndrome Conference last week. And it was funny because my sister-in-law was like, I'm so excited to meet Casey. I feel like we have this parasocial relationship where I'm friends with her, but she's not friends with me because I listen to your show and we're all friends.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And, you know, and I have to say for you guys, like what really impresses me is how the bulk of all your episodes is just the two of you. It's just the two of you talking. Like for us, the strength of the show is really us getting guests.
Yes.
You know, we're good at, like, you know, you're talking to other people about other stuff. But, you know, if we just were to turn on the mics and just be like, okay, the four of you, let's just talk. Mm-hmm. I mean,
There'd be a lot of lulls.
there would be. I mean,
and a lot of abuse,
which is really bizarre, which is really strange, because when you think about it, Rob, Steve, and I have worked together for like 23 years, right? So we know each other pretty well, yet have nothing to talk about.
Well, it's because we have no lives.
And I think that's the cool thing about podcasting, is just all the different formats you're going to find, and there's really a show for everybody. And I'm excited to see all the other creators out there doing advocacy stuff about disability. And there's so many good ones, and everyone kind of has their own, I was going to say their own flair to add, but then that sounds like I'm throwing in our name for some reason.
That's allowed.
But yeah, no, that's really cool.
I think also we've joked though that like we could talk for forever. We could talk and yap nonstop about any given topic. After we did a session together at the HBS conference last week about like independent living with low vision. It kind of touched on topics we've talked about in other episodes of our show, but it was just more concentrated for the audience in the room. And Case was like, I feel like they could give us any topic and we could just invent stuff to say about it.
Well, with her, with you specifically, because I feel like if it were like a new person that they paired me up with to talk with,
no,
it wouldn't flow as well. But since we do the pod, it's kind of like it just this flow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know exactly. And that really does come out in the show, which is, you know, again, I think that between that and, you know, the fact that you do really like lean into talking about what it's like, you know, that lived experience, I think is just really invaluable. So, I love the show, and I recommend everybody in our audience, all three of you that are listening. boy, let me tell you guys are going to see a big spike in your analytics. So, So on that note, here's where we get to plug. Where can people find the show?
Yeah. Rarewithflare.com is our site. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and then just wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple, all of those, wherever you listen to your podcast.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the hard hitting question of the week. I understand Casey has a special talent, and I'm going to ask, will you do the dog voice?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
The dog. Oh, my gosh. Can we explain the origin before?
So please people do. Are
not, of course.
Confused.
Yes.
I don't know. I talk to my dog in this obnoxious voice. It's very obnoxious. And way back at the beginning, see, you've really done your research. I'm impressed.
Wow.
Way back at the beginning of the pod, we kind of had this joke of like Cassandra wanted me to do the dog voice on the pod, and we kind of gave the audience an incentive of like, if we get, what was it, 100 reviews or something?
It was, we didn't realize how like insane of an ask that was.
Yeah, we didn't realize how hard that was. So we ended up, I think, adding up the reviews it on like happened. Apple and Spotify together. anyway, yeah, but yeah. So yeah, I can try it. Let me look at him because that helps.
Okay. You gotta get inspired.
I know. I'm
so excited to be on this podcast today. I don't know. It's something like that. For having us as a guest.
It's amazing because since we talk like all the time, even outside of the show, it's become so often that I get to hear this that I start using this like intonation in my daily life where I don't even like fully realize that it's happening until like recently. I was in an elevator and they asked me what floor I wanted to get off on. I was like, six. And they were like,
instead of six, yeah, we actually use the voice all the time. It's funny.
Man,
I don't know if I did it justice, but...
So, we can really relate. You know, we've got, I don't know if you guys even noticed. Yeah, good for you for not even asking us why or the hell there's a cowbell in the show.
I loved it though. I loved it.
It was such a, that's the big evolution of the show. It's like one day just Steve showed up to a recording. He's like, hey, I got the show something. We're like, what, new mics? Like, are we new shotgun mics? And no, he pulls out a cowbell. And he's just like, the show needs a cowbell.
It's such a good part of your show too. Like, I do love it.
We do consider it the
fifth
host. It
really makes me feel like, yeah, it makes me feel like I'm listening to like a audiobook or a radio show from like years past where it's like, oh, now we're beginning.
It somehow adds another layer. Like it feels like almost more professional.
Just official.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, we'll probably, maybe at the 10-year mark, we'll bring in kazoos and we'll start.
Ooh.
Or a tuba.
a tuba.
Oh. Wait, wow, uh-oh. Who's playing that?
A cymbal?
Maybe me.
I'm bringing in a whole band. Like.
Thank you so much for coming on, chatting with us. It has been an absolute delight. Please come back.
Yes, thank you. And we'll definitely be promoting your show on to our audience too, and let them know about not only about your show, but about the episode coming out too. And we'll share the love.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And listen, anything we can do to help. And yeah, please come back. We'd be happy to have you guys back when schedules allow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for working to coordinate the schedules. This has been so much fun, and you guys are a real treat. So thank you.
They secretly love the early morning recordings. Just putting it out there, Steve especially, pillow marks and all.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, you guys, it's just like, again, I can't overstate this enough. All four of us showed up for an 8 a.m. Monday show for you guys.
This is a first, right? Yeah.
So we feel so honored.
That's probably the biggest compliment of all.
You brought us all together.
Aww.
Can I go up and nap now?
Awesome. All right. Well,
wait.
Yes. Yes.
One more outgoing goodbye from Rupert.
Bye, everybody.
Really quick, Ryan, I don't know if anyone has ever told you, but your voice sounds just like the voice actor who does Bob on Bob's Burgers, and I can't unhear it.
Our cartoon knowledge coming into play here.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I was like, wow, they got a real celebrity cameo here. Like,
man, who knew? Maybe Ryan's been moonlighting on us.
I'm not saying anything.
Wonderful to meet you both.
Bye. Take
Bye.
Care. Oh, that was great. That was so much fun.
Yeah, they're great. I love their energy.
Oh, it's, yeah. The show is so great. I really do recommend everybody going and checking it out. It is really a breath of fresh air, and a really fun time listening. Yeah. So.
Groovy.
Rarewithflare.com.
We you know, I was just enjoying watching coffee number 3 do its magic. You know? I was like, I said, all of a sudden, he's going to crash. He's going to crash at some point.
No, it's probably so about half an hour.
Good job, Rob.
Thank you.
Very impressed with your morning performance.
Well, thank you. It's not the first time I've heard that, but.
I'm thinking it was, but okay. We'll go with your answer.
That's true. You busted me on that.
We're going to go with you.
The morning performance. Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah, perfect example of something that's getting edited out.
Hell no. That's perfect. Oh, dear. Well done, Liz.
Yes. Yes. Well worth you showing up for this damn episode.
I love insults before the workday starts, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. All right. Hey, we better wrap this up because the show's going long. So, hey, Liz.
Hey, Morning Glory.
Where can people find us?
We can be found at atbanter.com.
They can also drop us an email if they so desire at cowbell@atbanter.com.
And remember, we also have it that we have social media.
True. We do. Facebook, Instagram, X, Mastodon. Look for us. We're out there everywhere. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Wow. I'm not the only one that's had 3 coffees.
That's a lot of energy there.
It is. Just think of the productive employee he's going to be for the rest of the day, Steve.
like normal.
Yeah, that's right. all right. Well, I think that's going to about do it for us this week. Big thanks, of course, to Casey and Cassandra for joining us. And we will see everybody next week.
This podcast has been brought to you by Canadian Assistive Technology, providing low vision and blindness solutions, as well as physical access solutions and augmentative communication aids across Canada. Find us online at www.canastech.com Or if you're in the Vancouver Lower Mainland, visit our storefront at number 106-828 West 8th Avenue in Vancouver. That's one block off Broadway at Willow. You can reach us by phone, toll-free at 1-844-795-8324 or by email at sales@canastech.com.